Welcome to FTR's State of Freight podcast, where we will be sharing timely transportation intelligence on a weekly basis. For details, downloads, and to listen to all episodes of the FTR podcast, go to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. Today's episode is the weekly trucking market update presented by FTR's Vice President of Trucking, Avery Weiss. During this episode of the Trucking Market Update, Avery will give a brief recap of the Truckload Carriers Association Convention, recent news, review recent indicators that are worth looking at, and the week ahead. If you'd like to download the slides and graphs that are going to be discussed in this episode, go to www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Welcome to FTR's weekly trucking market update. I'm Avery Weiss, Vice President of Trucking. This is episode 4, A New Hope. So you'll have to forgive me if I'm off just a bit today. Earlier, I went for a walk and was attacked by a hawk. I wasn't really hurt, but it did actually draw some blood. And for a moment, I felt like I was in a Hitchcock film. Today we'll start off with a quick recap of last week's Truckload Carrier Association Convention in Las Vegas. We'll talk a bit about a couple of news items of interest, and we'll then dig right into the spot market data and economic indicators before wrapping up, as usual, with a teaser for the next week's podcast. So, TCA. I would say that the mood was not as exuberant as a year ago, but it wasn't gloomy either. There was definitely a sense that things were just a bit softer, but that it's a bit softer off what was for most of them a once-in-a-lifetime market. Still, carriers are finding that shippers are seeing an opening due to at least a perception of a weaker market and are pushing back hard on rates. There was also considerable discussion in a related vein about detention and hours of service reform. And especially TCA support for a return to more flexible split rest in sleeper berths. There was also broad support for the Drive Safe Act, which is the bill that would allow truck drivers aged 18 to 20 to operate interstate under certain conditions. There was concern about technology disruption, and especially shippers and intermediaries dealing directly with drivers rather than going through their carriers. And there was quite a bit of talk about the various challenges to the independent contractor model. Speaking of which, that brings us to the news items of the week, and we're going to start with the announcement of a Swift Transportation settlement for up to $100 million of a class action lawsuit that had charged the carrier had misclassified drivers as independent contractors rather than employee drivers. It's just one of a many lawsuits around the country on that issue, including one I heard about at the TCA convention where a carrier is being charged by owner-operators with essentially forced labor. The lawsuit cites, among other things, the Federal Forced Labor Act. So it's really getting kind of ugly out there. In other news, the American Trucking Associations reported that the driver turnover at large truckload carriers fell 9 points to 78% in the fourth quarter. That's 10 points below the fourth quarter of 2017. Chief Economist Bob Costello attributes the decline to a combination of decelerating freight volumes and higher driver pay. And then finally, I want to mention one other item because I find it rather humorous. Representative Colin Peterson of Minnesota has reintroduced a bill he introduced in the last Congress that would exempt carriers with 10 or fewer trucks from the electronic logging device mandate. I find this pretty funny because the principal reason for the mandate in the first place was to make sure that small carriers, i.e. those with, say, 10 or fewer trucks, would be forced to install ELDs just as the larger carriers were doing. It's kind of an ironic little piece of legislation, I would say. Okay, so let's talk about the spot market. The Market Demand Index, which you will recall from previous episodes, is the ratio of loads available to trucks available in the spot market, according to truckstop.com. did not change much from the prior week and is sitting just a bit higher than the five-year average. Meanwhile, the broker posted rate per mile, excluding fuel, has been almost flat the whole year, right around the five-year average. Load availability is tracking right on the five-year average, and truck availability is just a bit higher than it was a year ago. So there's actually not a glut of capacity in the spot market, which probably is mostly because spot rates have come down substantially while contract rates have risen year over year, and that's sending some capacity from the spot market into route guide freight. It does mean, though, that if we have a major disruption, we could see some temporary rate spikes. We're running out of time for winter weather to have that kind of effect, certainly, but hurricane season isn't too far away. Let's talk briefly about specific segments in trucking. The market demand index for dry van has been down for a couple of weeks as load availability is falling and truck availability is up. Dry van rates for the week were their lowest in 2 years. The MDI for refrigerated also is down on fewer loads and more trucks. And as with dry van, reefer spot rates are the lowest in 2 years as well. The MDI for flatbed is tracking right on the five-year average. Meanwhile, spot rates for flatbed have been in a range of $1.78 to $1.83 the entire year, except for the first week, which is pretty typical to have higher rates due to holiday-related capacity shortfalls. So to recap the spot market, things have stabilized considerably. That doesn't mean the overall freight market is declining, though. Some of the shift, as I said earlier, is a move from exception to route guide freight. And then some of it is working through the ELD-related challenges of 2018 and getting to a period of more stability. Okay, so let's look at the fuel and petroleum markets quickly. The price of a barrel of West Texas Intermediate crude seems to be working its way slowly up to $60. As of March 18th, it was just a little over $59. And meanwhile, the price of diesel eased slightly to a price of $3.07 a gallon for the week ended March 18th. Okay, so let's get into the meat of it. Let's talk about economic indicators.
Before Avery covers the latest indicators, I wanted to take a very brief moment to tell you about the FTR Transportation Conference this September 10th through the 12th in Indianapolis. Registration is now open, and we are also offering early bird savings if you register now. We recently took a look at the 2018 survey results, and we are excited to announce that over the past 3 years, 99.8% of those that took the survey said that they would recommend the conference to colleagues. The overall feedback from all of our attendees speaks for itself, but you can also take a look at more feedback from attendees at www.ftrconference.com. As the only conference that brings together all the different aspects of the freight transportation world into one place, the FTR Transportation Conference is the premier forecasting event of the year. To find out more about the FTR Transportation Conference or to register with Early Bird Savings now, go to www.ftrconference.com.
Okay, so let's get into the meat of it. Let's talk about economic indicators. First, we have business investment as defined by what we call core capital goods orders. That's orders for goods, capital goods, excluding defense and aircraft. In other words, more business-related goods that leave out things like aircraft that are high dollar and can kind of skew things. So anyway, we had an uptick in core capital goods in January from the December level, but the year-over-year growth is still lower than what we saw through 2017 and the bulk of 2018. Make no mistake, business investment is still historically strong, but it might have peaked in this cycle. We also got Federal Reserve industrial production figures. The total IP index was just about flat in January, But the year-over-year is actually still pretty strong at 3.5%. The Fed's manufacturing index, however, was weaker both on a month-over-month and a year-over-year basis. So construction. Total construction spending in January was a bit better than December, but it was practically flat year-over-year. Any strength in the sector came from non-residential, which was fairly strong month-over-month and year-over-year. However, residential construction continued a slide that began around the middle of 2018. And speaking of housing, it's not just construction that's weak. Sales are nothing to write home about either. Sorry about that. The annual rate of sales was down in January from December. And in the past 5 months, December was the only month that saw year-over-year gains. Still, there is some hope as mortgage rates last week dropped to their lowest levels in more than a year. Another reason for hope, the labor market remains strong. Job openings in January were once again significantly higher than the number of unemployed people. Finally, let's talk rates, or at least an approximation of rates based on government data, specifically the producer price index. The PPI for truckload primary services was down in January and February, but that's off a very strong December, and the truckload PPI was still up 5.4% year-over-year in February. The producer price index for LTL, meanwhile, continues to rise month-over-month and was up 5.5% year-over-year. So that's it for economic indicators. Let's recap this episode's key points. So spot rates, excluding fuel, are at a two-year low. Diesel prices remain stable. Crude prices are rising very slightly. Looks like they're headed to $60 per barrel. Core capital goods were a bit stronger in January, but still below the recent peak. Industrial production was basically flat month over month in January. Manufacturing was down slightly. New home sales remain soft. Construction spending is a bit stronger in January on the strength of non-residential. Job openings remained close to an all-time high in January. And the producer price index for truckload eased as the LTL PPI strengthened a bit. Finally, let's take a peek at what's in store for episode 5. We've got existing home sales coming out. Recent history does not bode well for this metric, but perhaps continued job creation and wage growth coupled with lower mortgage rates will turn things around. The Census Bureau releases its fourth quarter and annual revenue estimates for various service sectors, including trucking. So the question is, will 2018 be higher than 2017? Spoiler alert, duh! And finally, the Bureau of Labor Statistics has issued a report that challenges the notion that there is, or ever is, a truck driver shortage. And we'll talk about that. So that's it for FTR's Trucking Market Update, Episode 4, A New Hope. Thanks for listening, and we hope to see you next week.
I'd like to say a big thank you to Avery for sharing all of the information with us on the State of Freight podcast. We will be publishing the Trucking Market Update each week, and starting later this month, we'll also be sharing a podcast version of the State of Freight Today. To get notifications about new episodes, you can subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, and you can always go to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. There you will find past podcasts as well as any relevant information as it becomes available. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.